here in the weekend that it's going to be, tomorrow is going to be Independence Day, and I hope that we all have, I guess the word is an appreciation for the country that we live in, the freedoms, the rights, the responsibilities, the beauty of the country, the vastness of the country. For many years, I've just really appreciated the country that we live in. Kathy and I were talking about how you can think. I thought, I am so glad that I was born in the United States of America. You know, for many reasons. And we are right up against it these days. Things are changing very, very quickly, in changes that are not good. And so, you know, we can get discouraged. We can become fearful. We can become angry. We can really just end up becoming very negative. If you spend any time watching the news on TV, this can really accentuate those feelings, don't they? You've heard me so many times. I get to the place. I just become so upset with the direction our country is going in, and I get keyed up. I lock into that because I love what this country was founded on, and I hate seeing it go in a different kind of direction. But these are the way it is, and I know that, you know, we're to pray for our country. We're to look to ourselves and ask God, repent in the areas that we need to as individuals, to repent and turn to God and pray for our country, that our country turns back to God in a greater way, because the Lord is very clear that if a country turns away from Him, that there is going to be the consequences of Him backing off and allowing circumstances to take their course without Him helping us and intervening and doing those kinds of things that we've been used to over the years. Isn't that true?
Yes.
The other day, Kathy was watching a video on the internet. Anybody know, have heard about the TED Talks?
Yep.
The TED Talks? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just a few of you. TED Talks, these are where people in different intellectual areas have a forum in which they can present things that they're expert in, and they want to present information to people that help people to grow in areas of their lives. And in this particular one, he's a psychiatrist, a doctor of psychiatry, and he was talking about the brain. And he was saying how the brain is something like 2 or 3% of the total body weight of a person, but it uses up over 20% of the energy that the body produces. Our brain is very, very important. Now, would anybody disagree with that? You know, our brain is what directs us. Is that right? And I've noticed that after becoming a Christian, that I don't always act as a Christian. Does that bother you?
Yes.
That I don't act? No. Don't act as a Christian. You get the picture, right? I want, after seeing what God's plan plan was, that we couldn't do it ourselves, that we couldn't earn our way into heaven, and that God so loved us that he provided this way by having the Word of God become flesh, become just like us, and live out a life in the flesh, and that he lived a perfect life so that he could sacrifice himself for us. Wow. And you go, thank you, God. How many times today have you heard the word thanks or thank you in the songs and in what people have been saying? You know, and some of the testimonies about, you know, there's a great amount of thanks there. Well, I'm going to get to that point. The title for the message today is An Attitude of Gratitude. We should be so grateful to God for so many things. And I want to talk specifically about that in a minute. But, you know, we become Christians and we find ourselves doing the very things we don't want to do. Yeah? We find ourselves still doing that. We don't become perfect little cookie cutter kind of people that always do the right thing and always think the right thing and always have the right kind of attitude. We find ourselves wanting to be that way, but we don't find ourselves doing it. And, you know, at some point in time in our walk with God, we get to a place where we go, God, I cannot do this. I can't seem to walk perfectly the way you want me to. You know? And there are things that I found that are really helpful in this regard. And a lot of it does deal with the mind. Our minds are very powerful, aren't they? The attitude that we have toward our brothers and sisters, the attitude we have about work, the attitude that we have about church, the attitude that we have about God, the attitude we have about our spouse. It doesn't matter. Whatever we're talking about, what gives us these kinds of attitudes that lead us toward missing the mark need to get changed. Don't they? We can so very easily, like this kind of thought. Well, nobody's perfect. And you know where that leads you to? Don't try. Don't ask God to change you. Well, God accepted me right where I'm at, so I guess I don't need to change. No, that is a wrong thought. Because that leads you down the dark side of things. Toward a side that isn't going to please the Lord. Now, let me, I wrote some things down that this guy said. Oh yeah, he was saying that what we need is to get away from what he calls ants. Automatic negative thoughts. That's very, very common, even after we become Christians, to have automatic negative thoughts. He says, you know, you shouldn't believe every thought that comes into your mind.
Absolutely.
You better not believe everything that you think. You better think about where those thoughts are coming from. We've talked about this before in a message, I think, maybe 2 years ago. I brought out that big word, metacognition, right? You know, you have to think about what you're thinking. You and I need to realize that when certain thoughts come in, why that dirty rat? He isn't going to talk to me like that. Where's that thought coming from? Well, I'll show that person. and we think, that's my thought, and therefore I have the right to act upon that thought. Now he's saying that it's important not to allow negative thoughts to dominate our lives. I wonder how many of us are still, as Christians, dominated by negative thoughts. Dominated by thoughts that don't come from the Spirit of God. That's not out of joy and peace and love and long-suffering and so on and so on. What do you think of that? You think that any of us shouldn't be hearing this message? Wow. This is something for you to think about. And I don't know how to say certain things, you know, because I'm right in there with you. I'm not coming from some high place. I'm coming telling you what the Lord has spoken to me. And what it is one of the things that he said was, one of the things that helps any person get away from automatic negative thoughts is gratitude. Gratitude. Being thankful. Thinking about things that you can be thankful for. You know, I can, we were talking at the beginning of this about a country, you know, I was saying thoughts that I'm grateful about this country. There's some things I could say on the other side of it too. Oh, yeah. But, and you know what? The more you get the more you look at life from the negative side of things, the more you're going to be trapped by that. Now, Kathy had that video on this morning again, because this guy had brain scan pictures of brain scans of different people, and he was showing what a brain that has been trained to move more. And this is not the power of positive thinking. This isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about connecting with the Lord and being grateful and thankful for what you do have. Yeah?
Yes.
To keep making those kinds of connections. Because it's real easy to be upset with God, or upset with your spouse, or upset with what's going on in your job, or whatever. In your family, I don't know. It's real easy to allow the negative side of things to control your thoughts. And it is amazing what the brains look like. Huh? Anything you want to say about that, Kathy? I don't know if you can say anything about it.
The thing that struck me most is that the brain can change. We always heard, you know, after the age of 16 or 20 or whatever, the brain doesn't change. But he showed pictures of his own brain scan at 32 and then at 52, and his brain looked more healthy at 52 than at 32.
Yeah. And this is the thing I want to say. No matter what sin so easily besets you right now, no matter what bad attitude that can come right up in your mind, well, yeah, that's me, I do tend to, you know, this or that, that you and I have the possibility of changing that, starting right now. Isn't that a great thing?
Yes.
God, who redeemed us in our spirit and soul, can also redeem us in our mind. We can have our minds redeemed. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it is.
Don't sit there to the bottom. This is a great thing if you actually think about it.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to say. God renewed me, my spirit, so on. He also renewed and changed my mind.
Yes.
I could not understand the Bible before.
Yes.
I tried to read it, I couldn't. After that, I couldn't leave it alone. I just understood it. I could read it. I was amazed.
Yeah, and you know what can happen too with it? I'll just use that as an example. You know, let's say you have trouble reading, you're not a good reader, and you try to read it and it's still not making sense after you come to the Lord. You know, the thought, that the negative thought's going to come, I'll never be able to do that. And you know what? You give in to negative thought. You've now given that thought power in your life.
Yes.
Now think about that. You know? I just gotta have a cigarette. I just gotta have a cigarette. Oh, yeah? Well, how do you battle? We're talking about victory. You know, how do you battle a thought? Yeah, you battle it with another thought. We are not to be overwhelmed and just give in to the thoughts that we just automatically have, especially when they're negative like that.
Megan says the one thing she misses is a cigarette.
Yeah.
When she thinks of having one, she knows it's going to make her sick. So
yeah.
And I think it's a gift from God.
It is.
She watched her boyfriend drink one of her favorite cocktails, liquor. She said, I just looked at that and it made me so sick.
Yeah.
She says, I'm not going to ruin my good liver with liquor.
That's right.
Saturating it with alcohol.
Yeah. That was one of the things that he talked about in this message.
It was God giving her that.
Yes.
Makes her sick to think of having a cigarette.
Yes. And we have to combat thoughts with the right kind of other thoughts. We do.
Yes.
This is the battle that we're in. The battle is in yours and my mind, isn't it?
Yes.
What we will allow ourselves to think, what we will allow ourselves to carry out, we can't even do much about it once certain thoughts are accepted in our mind. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yes, I was going to say you were talking about the brain, and Raul has a lot of white matter in his brain. They're testing it, everything. It hasn't changed, but he doesn't have any tumors or anything. But when he was little, they were testing him because of all the white matter, and because they had a brain tumor, they were concerned. They were doing some testing in Boston, and they have all the cables connected, they have them in the room, and I asked the doctor, what are those lights? And it's, you know, different lights changing. They said, no, he's calm, that means that he's calm, instead of today's when he's calm. So I asked, well, what were you doing? He said, I was praying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I brought him to a place where he was calm.
Because
at first, you know, you see all this because he's scared. He's young, he's little, and when the colors started changing that I asked, I said, oh, that means that he's at a place where he's calm.
And since you mentioned that, I'll just say from the video that this psychiatrist was saying that when you look at pictures of brain scan pictures, a person who is praying, the frontal lobe is very, very active. And this is where all kinds of reasoning and thought processes are going on, and it's being enlivened. When people are in a passive, negative state, you know what part of the brain is more active at that point? It's called the it's the animal side of the brain. What's that called? There's an animal side of the brain.
Right.
Limbic. I think it's called the limbic. The limbic, right?
Richard.
Yeah, the limbic. The limbic part of your brain, the limbic lobe, I guess, I don't know. This is where all these emotions and negative kinds of things are, and that's what's alive when you're allowing other particular thoughts to overwhelm the way that you think. Because really, how you're thinking, your attitude of thinking, drives what you do, how you sin really finds its power? It's in you acting upon the particular thought that goes into your head. And this is why we've got to metacognate. We've got to say, well, where did that, you ever say to yourself, where did that thought come from?
And feed it.
Yeah, and then you can sit there, and then, you know, if it tantalizes you a little bit, that thought, right? Thoughts tantalize, don't they?
Yes.
Some of them. And if it tantalizes you, you kind of have that openness for that thought, and then you open up to more thought. Boy, all of a sudden now you are more trapped. And it's really a lot harder to get yourself extricated from the claw of the enemy that wants to draw you into a darker way of thinking and living. And living in a negative approach to people or situations. You know, something can happen to a person, and they can either look at it in a negative way. Why does this always happen to me? I don't know how many times I've said that. Why does this happen to me? As though there's no reason. You know, there are reasons why things happen. Most of the time, anyway. And if it isn't because of me, it's because of maybe the people I'm around. You know, who your friends are, who you hang around with, makes a difference in the way you think. This was another thing that he talked about in this message of his. That if to stop these automatic negative thoughts, they found that this isn't like just an idea that's possible. This is scientifically documented material I'm telling you about right now. And that if you hang around with people that are more upbeat, that have good character qualities, you know what's going to happen? You're gonna be like them. You gotta hang around with the right kind of people. You can't go out into the world and hang around with people that are negative, that don't care about God, and be out with them for long lengths of time. That doesn't mean you can't be there and, you know, let your light so shine. But so I'm not saying that. But you know what? If that's all who you are around, you are going to end up changing. Yeah. Unless you've got your head together. Now, you can do it, but there's very few people that can do that. You've got to have your head together. You know, you ever with a group of people and somebody starts telling a dirty joke and then you kind of laugh because you want to fit in. Huh? Has that ever happened? I know I did that when I was a kid. I wanted to feel like I was fitting in. I didn't want to look different than everybody else. I didn't like the joke, but I kind of laughed at it. You know, much to my chagrin now that I was like that. But, you know, you learn, you grow. But this is important that you be around, for the most part, with people that have good character. Because that's what's going to help feed your mind to live the right way too. Isn't that right? This is what's good about church.
Yes. Malcolm, Ronnie, yeah. Said you need to get to church. You're doing this last week. You miss everybody. And you miss that fellowship in that.
Yeah.
You say that out to you. You know that you can talk about the Lord and nobody rolls their eyes at you, you know?
Yeah. Right. And there's something about when you're listening to or you're singing songs and those words, the spiritual energy that's coming from the songs that we sing and just talking with people that have a light spirit with the Lord, there's a feeding that's going on. We don't even realize it, but that's what's happening. You know? And for us to be thinking in the right way, we need one another. We need that all that special quality that's in every single person in this room.
Yeah.
We need one another. You know what he said? He says that if people are going to get well, if there's a better chance if they get well in groups. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Now, he was talking specifically about eating, about getting well. Now, if more people are eating the right way, treating their bodies the correct way, our bodies are the temple of the Lord, right? Then we need to be careful about the kinds of foods we eat.
He was talking about how the church he goes to. He said he was
doing all this brain work, and he walks into the church, and it's a gigantic big mega church. And so he noticed that there was, I forget how many, but like 30 dozen donuts out on a table for people to come along and take. And they were cooking hot dogs for breakfast, for lunch. They had all this other not so great stuff. Now I know it's Independence Day weekend. You're gonna go grill some hot dogs and hamburgers and all. But he was just using this as an example.
Yeah, I wish you didn't mention the ice cream, honey.
I was getting to that. You know, you'll bring up anything that you can do without, but anything that you really like, you kind of let that go by. That's what she's doing to me. She's making sure that.
Forget the hot dog vendor.
Forget the man.
Be nice to me.
So he says here that there's lots of reasons why our thinking can be different. He was saying spending time with the right kind of people is important. Our diet is important because you ever notice when you're not feeling good, what that does to the way you think? Think about that. Aren't you a little more irritable? Aren't you getting depressed?
No.
Right? Those kinds of things that can happen from injury. He mentioned environmental things that can happen to your brain. The things you breathe in. I can't think of the other things you talked about. Oh, sleep apnea. You know, that robs your brain of needed oxygen. So, you know, there's all these things, and there are ways that we need to get around that. You know, so
I haven't used any scripture yet, have I?
No.
All right, so I'm going to read. I want to read you some scripture.
I just want to say, I find that negative thinking people are very unhappy people, and I've known some. Now,
yes.
Why are you so unhappy? You've got everything. To make you a happy life?
Yeah.
Very negative, very unhappy.
Yeah, even people that have everything.
They had everything. They had wealth, they had a wonderful family, they had everything they want, but they were unhappy, very negative.
Yeah. And one thing in your life that isn't just the way you want it, you can focus on that and miss out on being grateful for all these other aspects of your life that are wonderful blessings that you have, but you don't focus on the good thing, and that's what the message is about: is to be grateful for the good things that you have.
Well, I got to mention this lady before she died; she accepted the Lord because before that, she wasn't a Christian. And then when she became a Christian, she was full of love, love, love. She loved everybody. Such a change.
A big change can
big
happen.
Big change. But I'm so happy. It was just big
that she was happy.
She died. Before she died. She was
the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to read you this particular scripture, and then I'm going to jump through a few other ones. This is Ephesians chapter 4. It's verses 22 to 24. and it says this, and that you put off concerning your former behavior the old person, that old way of living, in other words, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And be renewed. See, now here's how you get away from that. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means the way you think, the attitude of the way where you allow your mind to go. And that you recognize that not every thought you have is being generated directly from you. There is an enemy out there. And he's going to throw thoughts into your mind. It's in that soulish, spiritual place, and the enemy is in that realm, and so he can speak to your mind through the Spirit. Does the Spirit of God speak to your mind? Sure. So other spirits can speak too. The Scripture says to test every spirit and see if it's of God. What? Because you see a ghost? No. It's talking about that spirit. The Spirit is speaking to you, is moving upon you to have thoughts or emotions and guide you in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why we need to know how God and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Mm-hmm. You know, love, joy, peace, you know, all these things that we're supposed to, you know, think on these things that are good and holy and pure. If it's not that, and it's something that's negative, making you feel guilty, and you have no reason to be, you know that that's not the Holy Spirit of Christ speaking.
Yeah, did you ever you ever wake up some morning and you go, I feel depressed, I don't even know why.
Yeah.
Or I feel sad, I don't even know why. There's no reason for me to be there. So where's that coming from?
Yeah.
You see? And you've got to metacognate that. You guys say, well, wait a minute. This doesn't even make any sense. So this isn't coming from something that was generated in my own heart. This is coming from somewhere else. And I'm not going to allow those thoughts to continue. And you stop them. Can you do that? Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Right? You stop saying, no. You think to yourself, no, I'm not going to think like that. I want to think that way. I have the energy to think that way, but I'm not going to think that way. And you've got to come back in just as much or more energy to stop those kinds of thoughts. Because, you know, there's a lot of suicides going on. And young people, they have a whole life ahead of them, you know, and their mind is being overrun by automatic negative thoughts, and they can't seem to get away from it. But the power of Christ that's in you, as a born-again believer, you can walk in the victory of Christ by just summoning up, God, give me, don't allow me to keep thinking like this. And it's a process, it takes time, and we trip and we fall over, you know, giving in to the thoughts. But we pick ourselves back up again, and we say, no, I'm not going to live like this. I'm not going to let my mind keep doing this to me. Have you been noticing that? Okay, so I want to read you here some other scriptures. Here we are. I'm going to run through them fairly quickly. Psalm 89. I think this is so great. This should help us out a little bit, maybe. All right, Psalm 89, verse 15 through 18. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Isn't that an interesting way of saying something? Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They sense They've chosen to go and experience the joy of being in the presence of God, right? And the more that you're there, the more you know it. You know, that's what Sylvia was just saying. Yeah, you get to sense what's God and what isn't God, right?
Verse 16 says, "In thy name they will rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness they shall be exalted." How many of you would like to be lifted up rather than stand up?
Yeah.
You'd rather be exalted, you'd rather be lifted up than be down in the, you know, in the molly grubs. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
But you know, there are things you have to do. It isn't just, you know, I want to be happy. But then there's nothing that you do to get yourself there. You've got to make right choices, don't you?
Okay. And then it goes on, "For thou art the glory of their strength, and the favor of our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Boy, does that give you, that gives you what you need. I'm going to go back to Psalm 62 and 63. It says this, Psalm 62, verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." What? That's just so positive. And it's true. That's what we should be connecting with, shouldn't it? This is why it's good to have this. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen you in the sanctuary, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee." I'm going to stop there, actually, and I'm going to just finish up with Psalm 100. We could go into Psalm 101, too, but I'll just read you Psalm 100. Here's what it says. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Gratefulness, right? Gratitude. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations."
And I'll tell you, when we get into that kind of attitude of gratefulness, I think this guy said, if every day you can think of at least three things that you're grateful for, it starts to help change your brain. Your brain scan. Isn't that something? Just thinking on three things that you're thankful about can help you. Because we can get inundated in this life, can't we? And it's important that we push back on this. Otherwise, you, me, we will succumb to those negative things. And, you know, marriages are going to suffer. Family relationships are going to suffer. There'll be division in a church. There'll be problems at work because we're negative. And we only look at the negative. And you don't see the good that's out there. And that's really important for us as God's people, isn't it? So Lord, I just pray that we become greater and better at being grateful and trust you, Lord. And look at the good things. I ask that you bless us with this, that we be free from the bondage of automatic negative thoughts, and that we would have an attitude of gratitude. That we're not people that just say, woe is me. But Lord, that we know that you've raised us up to be more than that. And Lord, we want to live in it. Positive, not negative. We thank you, Lord, today. Be with all of us here. In Jesus' name.